The message this morning comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And this is what it says. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. A certain church congregation had dismissed its pastor. Someone asked a parishioner why they had done it. Well, the pastor kept telling us we were going to hell, the church member answered. Well, what does your new pastor say? He keeps saying we're going to hell too. So what is the difference? Well, the church member replied, when our first pastor said we were going to hell, he sounded like he was glad. But when our new pastor says it, he sounds like it's breaking his heart. This is what is going on at the beginning of Romans chapter 9. The Jews, for the most part, were not accepting the gospel and were not being saved. They were therefore condemned and going to hell. Paul was the chosen instrument of God to declare this message. But it was not something that he took great pleasure in. He had to declare that his own brethren from Israel were going to hell, but he did it with great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. This passage is an expression of the intense compassion that Paul had for the nation Israel. It is an expression of the extent of his concern for the lost souls of his blood relatives. I want to make this declaration of Paul an occasion for us to examine the extent of our concern for lost souls. What is the extent of your concern for lost souls? Do you have a soul winner's heart? What does a soul winner's heart look like? This passage will give us an idea of what a soul winner's heart looks like. First of all, a soul winner is concerned for the lost souls of his own family. Paul says in this passage that he has unceasing anguish in his heart for his own blood relatives, for his kinsmen according to the flesh. If you restrict this passage to its narrowest sense, what you have is your own family. How many times have we heard about men who became so involved in the ministry that they neglected their own family? One pastor was serving as the leader of a growing ministry. He found himself involved in extensive counseling as well as administrative and teaching responsibilities. He enjoyed counseling, and therefore he decided to open a counseling center. As this new ministry grew, so did the number of hours required to ensure its operation. From early morning until late in the evening, he nurtured this demanding ministry. On a particular memorable morning, his secretary called his office and informed him that there was a young lady in the foyer to see him. He replied that he was booked for the rest of the day and suggested that she please make an appointment for another day. His secretary emphasized that this particular person had a problem of parental neglect. She thought the situation needed immediate attention. Would he at least see her for a few minutes? Somewhat disquieted, he replied that he would see her, but only because it was an emergency. Engulfed in updating notes from his previous appointment, he failed to look up from his desk as she entered the office. When he finally looked up from his papers, he found himself staring into the eyes of his own daughter. If we can be concerned about lost souls at all, why not be concerned about our own families? Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan in the 17th century, is one of the most familiar Christian books ever written. It allegorizes the Christian life as a pilgrimage fraught with problems and dangers and acquaintances along the way to the celestial city, which is heaven. There is a picture in that book of a Christian man's concern for his family who is still lost. Christian is having a conversation with a man named Charity. Charity said to Christian, "Have you a family? Are you a married man?" And Christian said, "I have a wife and 4 small children." Charity said, "And why did you not bring them along with you?" Then Christian wept and said, "Oh, how willingly would I have done it, but they were all of them utterly averse to my going on pilgrimage." Charity said, "But you should have talked to them and endeavored to have shown them the danger of staying behind." Christian said, "So I did, and told them also what God had shown to me of the destruction of our city. But I seemed to them as one that mocked, and they believed me not." Charity said, "And did you pray to God that He would bless your counsel to them?" Christian, "Yes, and that with much affection, for you must think that my wife and 4 children were very dear unto me." Charity, "But did you tell them of your own sorrow and fear of destruction? For I suppose that destruction was visible enough to you." Christian, "Yes, over and over and over. They might also see my fears in my countenance, in my tears, and also in my trembling under the apprehension of the judgment that did hang over our heads. But all was not sufficient to prevail with them to come with me. Your family may reject Christ, but have you talked with them about their souls? Have you prayed for them? Have you wept for them?" That is what Charity was asking Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. Secondly, a soul winner is concerned for the lost souls of people of his own race. This is what Romans 9, 1 through 3 is about. It is about Paul's intense compassion for the people of his own race, the Jews. He said, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." Do you have that kind of concern for people of your own race who are without Christ? Dr. Joseph Son is a Romanian pastor and teacher. In the 1970s, when Romania was under the control of communism, Joseph Son was preaching against communist persecution. He published some articles against persecution, and the communist authorities arrested him, interrogated him, and finally exiled him from the country in 1981. He spent the next 9 years in America. And how did he spend that time? He prayed for his people, his countrymen. He translated Christian books into his native language. He preached around this country, always making mention of the plight of the people of Romania under communist rule. The desire of his heart was that his fellow countrymen could know Jesus Christ. In 1990, Joseph Son was able to go back to Romania. He became the chancellor of a seminary. When I heard him speak in 1991, he was raising funds for a school to train pastors to go to the towns and villages of Romania to win the people of his race to Jesus Christ and to establish churches for the advancement of the kingdom of God in Romania. The Apostle Paul was concerned for the lost souls of his own race. Are you concerned for the lost souls of your own race? A soul winner is concerned for the lost souls of people of other races and cultures. The passage expresses Paul's deep concern for the salvation of his own race, but that does not negate his concern for people of other races and cultures. Paul went to the cities of the Roman Empire, to all the different races and cultures, preaching the gospel and planting churches. This is one thing that caused the Jews to hate him. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. His desire was to preach Christ where he was not known. Jim Elliot was a man who was concerned for the lost souls of people of other races and cultures. In 1952, he went to Ecuador as a missionary with the intention of taking the gospel to a savage tribe of Alca Indians. In 1956, he was speared to death by the people that he went to help. In case anyone wanted to know why Jim Elliot went to Ecuador, he wrote in his journal, "You wonder why people choose fields away from the states when young people at home are drifting because no one wants to take time to listen to their problems. I'll tell you why I left. Because those stateside young people have every opportunity to study, hear, and understand the Word of God in their own language. And these Indians have no opportunity whatsoever. I have had to make a cross of two logs and lie down on it to show the Indians what it means to crucify a man. When there is that much ignorance over here and so much knowledge and opportunity over there, I have no question in my mind why God sent me here. Those whimpering stateside young people will wake up on Judgment Day condemned to worse fates than these demon-fearing Indians because, having a Bible, they were bored with it, while these never even heard of such a thing as writing." In 1951, he had written, "The Scriptures indicate that God intends some from every tribe and tongue and people and nation to be there in the glory, sounding out the praises of the Redeemer." This is specific indication that the gospel must be gotten to tribes who are not yet included in the singing hosts. Hence, my burden for cultural groups as yet untouched. Jim Elliot discussed with his wife, Elizabeth, the possibility that he might not return from the Alcas. "If God wants it that way," he said, "then I am ready to die for the salvation of the Alcas." And die he did, for the sake of lost savages of another race and culture. A soul winner is concerned for the lost souls of his enemies. Paul said, "I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." And do you realize that these people were Paul's enemies? On Paul's first missionary journey, he and Barnabas went to Antioch in Pisidia. The Jews stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. They went to Iconium, and the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Paul and Barnabas went to Lystra, and some Jews came down from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul and they dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. The same sort of thing happened on Paul's second and third missionary journeys. But still he was concerned about them and desired them to be saved. In 1549, Admiral Thomas Seymour was sentenced to execution for treachery. He was a wicked man that Hugh Latimer despised. Before he was to be executed, Seymour requested Latimer to visit him in his cell. "Who am I," said Latimer, "to begrudge a man on his way to hell a chance to repent and be saved? Yet I could wish he had called upon someone else." May the Lord forgive me my reluctance. I can relate better to Latimer's reluctance than to Paul's compassion for his enemies. But it is more Christ-like to have compassion for your enemies. Does not the Bible say that while we were His enemies, Christ reconciled us to God? Finally, a soul winner is concerned for lost souls, even in light of the doctrine of election. Romans 9 is one of the most difficult chapters in the whole Bible because of this doctrine of election. The doctrine of election says that God is sovereign in salvation. God chooses whom He wants to save, and only those whom God chooses will be saved. I have as much difficulty with election as anyone, but it is taught in the Bible, and I refuse to be dishonest with the Scriptures and try to make them say something more palatable to human ears. I'm going to try to preach a message on this later, and I won't say that I am undaunted by the thought of it. But the point I want to make today is that the doctrine of election is not incompatible with compassion for lost souls, whomever they are. I've always heard that the doctrine of election kills evangelism. All I have to say about that is that if the doctrine of election quenches anyone's zeal for evangelism or in any way diminishes their compassion for lost souls, it is because we have misconstrued it. Paul certainly believed in the sovereignty of God in salvation. He believed in election. He writes straightforward about election in this chapter, in verses 10 through 21. The same person who wrote this about election in Romans 9 is the man who said, "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." God is not going to require anyone to be cut off from Christ for the sake of someone else. It wouldn't be possible anyway. He may require you to give your life like Jim Elliot, though. Or He may require you to humble yourself and explain the gospel to your enemy like Hugh Latimer. Or He may just want you to proclaim the gospel to your family and to those you come into contact with in the normal ongoing of everyday life. Yes, I believe that is His will for all of us. May God use this statement of the heart of Paul to ignite in us a compassion for the lost of our families, for the lost of our race, for the lost of other races, for the lost of our enemies, and for the lost, even in light of the doctrine of election. May God do it. Amen.